CMAT running planning. Pricewatch.rt.ie if you want Conor Pope to grapple with any of your consumer issues. Good afternoon, Conor.
Good afternoon to you, Ray. How are you?
Will we hold on? You say again.
I'll say good afternoon, Ray. How are you? You see, I just said it exactly the same way twice.
Yes, you're a pro.
Totally.
That's working on television. That's working on television. Now, just before we get into our problems, can you explain to people out there wondering this new number, this driver number for car insurance, which is starts today?
Yeah, it's good news, I think, because what it does is it creates a much deeper sense of transparency when it comes to driving. And it means that guards who stop people will be able to identify not only whether or not they have insurance using this fairly advanced database they have, they'll also be able to identify past driver behaviour using this number. So from now on, from today, if you're going to get car insurance, you will need to input or give the broker or the insurance company your driver number. That's listed as 4D on your driver's license. Uh-huh. And that's a number that stays with you forever. So from the moment you got your provisional license in 1985 or whatever it might be, your driver number is consistent all the way through.
So that's where it is. It's on your driver's license.
Exactly. And the key thing here is if you've got named drivers on your insurance policy, they're also going to have to submit their driver number. And if you don't submit it, it's an offence for a broker or for a car insurance company to offer you insurance without that.
Okay, so my insurance isn't up till September.
Yeah.
Do I wait till then? Or
you
wait
when you're applying for your insurance, because your insurance is renewed on an annual basis. So it will only really, you don't have to contact your insurance company today and say, oh, here's my insurance number, because I think that would create too much of a logistical headache for the entire system if everybody had to send in their details. An awful lot of insurance companies already will ask for the information, but from now on, it becomes mandatory.
Okay. And when you say 4D, so that's the,
yeah, you know,
that's the labelling of it.
Exactly. When you turn around the back of your driver's license, there's all these tiny, in tiny font, there's all these little things.
Yes.
4D will be your driver's license number.
Okay, brilliant. Thank you. Now, I recently took a ferry to France and used my phone a fair bit. When I got home, I was horrified to be hit with almost €100 in roaming charges. I thought we abolished them years ago. So did I, Conor Pope.
Yeah, well, we did everywhere except international waters. So what's happened here is that if you use your phone, and if you use the roaming capacity on your phone and you're within sight of land, the signal that you get are that you'll be making contact with the internet using the masts on land. Once you get out of sight of land, they have to use satellite signals and satellite services to give you access to the internet. And as a result, you pay absolutely savage roaming charges. Now, I would stress to anybody who's travelling to France over the course of the next few months, people going on holidays, be mindful of this, because the ferry companies aren't doing anything wrong. Maybe they could do more to flag it. But the reality is that roaming is an EU rule. And the roaming charges that used to exist donkeys years ago were absolutely ridiculous. We used to talk about
thousands of euros.
Yeah, like to call home for 5 minutes from Malta would cost you a tenner. Mm. To call home for 5 minutes from Paris would cost you £7. Absolutely. And of course, and text messages cost 70
or
80
cents. And then if you watch something on your phone.
Well, there was one woman famously who watched an episode of Lost, and I think she accrued a bill of €60,000, which is probably almost as much as it costs to make an episode of Lost. But that, you know, the EU, to all its credit, abolished roaming charges. And now when you're travelling across the European Union or in the UK, you can use your phone pretty much like you use it at home, with certain limitations. The only exception is when you're in international waters. And that's why it's incredibly important to be mindful of it. So what I would suggest to anybody taking the ferry to France, I should have said anyone taking the horse to France there, just for your older listeners, but anyone taking the ferry to France in the next few months should turn off data roaming on their phone before they get on the boat. So you can do that by going into, if you've got an iPhone, you go into settings, mobile data, and just turn off mobile data. Similarly with if you've got an Android, you go settings, connections, and then turn off mobile networks. And all that does is it means that unless you can hook up to the Wi-Fi network on the boat, and most boats will have a Wi-Fi network, it might be patchy, it mightn't, it means you can't access the internet on your phone unless you actively go back in and turn on the mobile roaming data. And that means that you're not going to be hit with this bill shock, because it is really like, it can be, as I say, €100 for a ferry crossing. And the thing is, these ferry crossings can be quite long and they can be quite dull. So you're going to, I want to see, like, it's a lot of money to pay to see how Manchester United did or whatever it might be.
I say this news to a lot of people.
Completely. But that's probably how the telecoms companies make a few bob. Now, I'm not saying they're doing it for duplicitous reasons, because they say, you know, they will probably remind people that when you're in international waters, they're using satellite services, and as a result, they have no choice.
I've never heard of this before.
Charges. Well, there you go. Every day is a school day, right?
Yeah, yeah. And what about the ferry services putting up a sign?
Well, maybe they should, you see, and maybe they do, in fairness, because like it's been a long time. It's been more than a decade now since I've been on a ferry, and maybe they do have these big signs in place. But certainly, I think as a public service announcement, it's really important to remember that if you can't see land and you're using your mobile phone, you could be paying through the nose for it. So just be mindful of that.
Right. So roaming charges still exist on ferries. That's what you need to know.
Or indeed on planes, but that's a slightly different story because you're supposed to turn off your phone on a plane.
And is that do some planes not allow you anymore? No,
I think they do. I think there are some planes, but I have never been on one.
Right. Second one. I recently paid new windows and doors to be fitted, but the company went out of business and took my 50% deposit with them. What chance do I have of getting it back?
This is a really common story, and I've heard an awful lot of people
They did a live line on it a good few months ago.
Absolutely, and I know the name of the company that they were referring to, and there's a couple of issues here. First, there's the size of the deposit. I think it's ridiculous that companies will ask for a 50% deposit for doing work. It's becoming almost commonplace, and I think we should fight against it. And I think we should question whether or not you should be doing business with a company if it's demanding you pay them 50% up front. Because effectively then what they're doing is they're using your deposit to cover the costs for somebody else, and then they get another deposit and they use that to cover your costs and all that stuff. So that's the first red flag,
but
right?
Is it not understandable if windows and doors are bespoke that they would need quite a sizable deposit up front?
Yes, but that should be a feature of the company doing business. They should have sufficient cash reserves to be able to buy or at least put down a deposit themselves for the doors, and maybe you pay 20% or 30% or whatever it might be. But the reality is a lot of companies will demand 50%, and it very much is a seller's market. So the company can say, well, if you don't pay the 50%, you're not getting your doors, I'll go somewhere else. And so people do feel under pressure to pay that money. If you do pay it, it's incredibly important that you don't transfer the money using bank transfer or any other kind of transfer. You must pay your deposit with your credit card or your debit card. Because at least if you do pay with a debit card or a credit card and the service isn't delivered, you can go to your bank and arrange a chargeback. If you transfer the money using a bank transfer system, there's no way.
Will you say that again? Because that's hugely important for me.
If somebody asks you for a hefty deposit, ask or make sure, insofar as is possible, that you pay using your debit card or your credit card. Because if something goes wrong with the transaction later on down the road, you can get your bank to organise a chargeback, which sees you getting your money back. If you transfer the money from your account to their account, the money is gone. And the thing is, some companies will say, oh, well, I don't accept credit cards or debit cards. You can use your debit card or your credit card in a flea market for a purchase that's a fiver.
Yes.
If a company won't allow you to use your credit card your debit card, paying 7,000 euros or 10,000 euros or 15,000 euros for doors or windows or whatever, well, then you might say to yourself, maybe I should do business with a different company.
What about this person here then?
The reality is it all depends on how they paid for the money. If they paid using their credit card or debit card, contact your bank immediately and say, I didn't get what I paid for. I'd like to instigate a chargeback. And the banks have systems in place. Failing that,
that term is the important term.
The chargeback. I want to instigate a chargeback. And failing that, they then become known as an unsecured creditor, which means they take their place in the queue behind the liquidators, behind revenue, behind the banks and behind everybody else. So they're not getting their money back.
Ferry services have lots of signs and also on the website. Travel to Spain and France a few times. So
there we go.
And talking about polished in windows, we were talking about earlier on. Back in the day, my father always insisted on using the Sunday Times. He always maintained that the texture was best for polishing windows, Pat in Waterford.
Oh, well, I'd say the Irish Times polishes a mean window too.
Pricewatch at RTE.ie. Pricewatch at RTE.ie if you want Connor to grapple with any of your consumer issues. Thanks very much, Connor.
Thanks, Ray.
That's it from us. Cormac is on Drive Time. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Monday evening.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.